General Kenobi.
Hello there. Hello there. Welcome to episode 21 of Hello There, a Star Wars podcast. I'm Anthony Palm and joined as always by Nathaniel Hicks.
What's up, what's up, what's up?
And Nate is eating chips right now, so that is what the crunching noise is. So this week we have a couple of different things we want to talk about. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode because I kind of have a scheduling thing, but we wanted to make sure we didn't miss another week. We're sorry we missed last week. Hope you enjoyed the Attack of the Clones commentary, though. So why don't we just jump right into it? So this past week we had some reveals, or rather a reveal, which was a new Stormtrooper, which is called a Sith Trooper, which is going to be featured in Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. So what are your thoughts on this? Do you have any theories? The first thing that really caught my attention was the fact that it was called a Sith Trooper. And it's weird, like, hearing the word Sith actually, like, spoken aloud by anyone that isn't a Sith or a Jedi. You know what I mean?
That's the weirdest thing, is the fact that the naming convention of it is a Sith Trooper. So I said this in a Discord group. This is what I love and have a problem, not necessarily a problem, with what's going on with The Last Jedi, is I literally have no idea what's going on. So that's good in a sense, because I can be surprised when I get to it. But with, like, The Force Awakens, even with The Last Jedi, I feel like I could kind of piece together, okay, like, this is probably what's going to happen. They keep releasing stuff for The Rise of Skywalker, and I have no idea what's going on. The Sith Trooper is very interesting. The thing that I am the most curious about, and I actually have a theory that I feel like the Rise of Skywalker is going to be the most love the prequels will get out of the sequel trilogy, for multiple reasons. One of which is the rumor, the potential of Hayden Christensen coming back to be Anakin in some aspects. But if you take a look at the picture that released of the toy or the figure for the Sith Trooper, this trooper has very clone trooper-esque armor attributes. Like, it looks like the Gen 3, it looks like the clone trooper, the armor looks like the clone troopers from episode 3, in terms of kind of how some of the divots are.
Yeah, it's got very hard edges, like the clone troopers did.
Also with the helmet,
Whereas the storm, yeah, that's kind of what I meant, like the helmet. Whereas the stormtroopers in Force Awakens and Last Jedi were more kind of based on the bubbliness of
the originals. They were a newer version of the, yeah. Yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah, the visor in particular looks
the visor
very
and
similar.
The nose area looks, yeah, very clone trooper like. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, why are they called Sith troopers? I mean, Kylo Ren's not explicitly a Sith that we know of.
The
and
only
Snoke wasn't a Sith. So does this really kind of confirm the return of Palpatine?
Yeah, the only thing that I could think of potentially as far why they'd be called Sith Trooper would be just the excuse of Kylo's running everything now. And it's one of those, like, it's kind of like a free reign kind of thing. Like, it's
there are no
Kylo's
Sith,
vision.
So I am the Sith.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
Like, there's no one else to tell him he can't be the Sith Master. So he is the Sith Master.
Yeah,
I guess maybe.
But that would be interesting if there's a story point with Palpatine actually having an actual presence that involves enforcing these kind of troops. So that is an interesting take to see if that's actually from Palpatine or if this is something, because it looks very First Order-esque in some aspects. I have a feeling Kylo is responsible for this in some way.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree as well.
But again, I have no idea what's going on with this movie. I legitimately don't.
Yeah, we're getting thrown in so many different ways because there's so many clues as to, you know, are they going to Batuu in this movie? Because, you know, I sent you in our, you know, our chat offline, that there's, like, one of the tie-in novels where Leia sends one of her people to like go scout a place for the resistance to like make a new home base. And it's, she goes to Batuu and it's like, could this be a place for the resistance? So, and hopefully they're called the Rebellion in this movie, but that's a different point. And then there's like the Death Star factor. And then there's just a lot. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot going on in the trailers for this movie. It almost feels like this should have been split into two movies and The Last Jedi could have just been like a half hour tacked on to The Force Awakens.
You could have totally minimized The Last Jedi to half an hour. That is 100% a fact.
Because it only takes place over 3 hours in real time, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Like maybe 8 hours, some of that.
Yeah.
Because you could have had, and you could, I don't know, man. You know how I feel about The Last Jedi. I loved it. I adored it when it first came out. And the more I watch it, the more I'm like, this is weird.
What
and
makes
it doesn't feel right. And it feels like it's a big waste of time.
What makes it more interesting is the fact of now, and this could just be, you know, misleading, but Daisy Ridley has gone on record saying that, which I don't believe, she's not going to play Rey again. I really don't. But whatever they're working on next, she's making it sound like I'm not a part of that. So
that's what I got the vibe of too. When she said that, I took it as she's not in the next trilogy that the Game of Thrones guys are working on. That's how I took it.
Yeah. So it could be she. I. There's no way that she's not going to be Rey anymore. Like they built these characters up to be this new generation of Star Wars for people. I think they're going to continue with that.
But yeah, they're not going to waste the what's the word? They spent time marketing and building these characters. They're not going to just waste them.
Yeah, but what's interesting is it seems like there's a lot that's going to be in this movie, which is cool. But at the same time, like you're right, like there's a good chance that
they can't do everything we want in this movie.
Exactly.
I think they're going to do a lot of what we want. But I think that's the problem I have with The Last Jedi, is that they had the time to give us some of the things we wanted in The Last Jedi so that they didn't have to give us all of it in The Rise of Skywalker. They gave us none of what we wanted in Last Jedi. And so everything, there's no way they can give us everything we want in Rise of Skywalker. And I've kind of accepted that. And that's why I'm not going to hold it against Rise of Skywalker if everything I wanted isn't there, because I know Rian Johnson kind of screwed everything up, you know.
Yeah, and I
hate to sound like a hater, because I'm not hating on Rian Johnson the person, but I don't think that he got the script right. I don't think he got the characters right. I don't know. I said, the more I think about The Last Jedi, and again, I say this every time we record, I'm going to reserve my judgments until Rise of Skywalker's out. Maybe Rise of Skywalker comes out and it makes me love The Last Jedi more in retrospect, you know?
Right. Yeah. I feel like The Last Jedi is one of the only movies in the saga that you can probably easily write down or like dictate what happens in less than 10 minutes. Like as far as the important points of that movie, I feel like are a very handful.
The only things that happened are Rey talks to Luke. Luke says, I'm done with the Jedi. The Jedi suck. Rey leaves. Rey gets captured by Kylo. Kylo kills Snoke. Rey goes to save the people on Crait. And then Luke, Force hologram shows up, stops Kylo. And then that's the end of the movie. That's literally all that happens. And Kylo then there's some tertiary stuff. There's the whole thing with, don't even get me started with the whole thing with DJ, the whole thing. If he had come back and rescued them, then and then he was like, yeah, maybe I'll side with the good guys today. You know, if that happened, all right, there was a point to it. There literally was no point to the DJ character.
Right.
He brought them there just to get him captured.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you just not bother in the first place? I mean, yeah. I guess for the reward, but I don't know.
The thing I'm the most interested to see is how they answer Rey's lineage in terms of what happens in the Rise of the Last Jedi, because like that was another thing, is Kylo tells Rey that her parents were nobodies. Okay. So was there a reason, like to me still, I feel like the reason why that was said was the byline for The Last Jedi of everything you love doesn't matter, or, you know, it's basically like saying like, hey, you guys thought Snoke was this big character. Oh no, we're going to kill him. Oh, you thought Rey was the lineage with someone legacy important.
She's the granddaughter of Obi-Wan or something.
Yeah, no, her parents were nobody.
That's the other issue I have with The Last Jedi. The more I think about it, is everything was done just to subvert expectations, but that's not what Star Wars is. If you want to do that with like a Batman movie, fine, because there's a million iterations of Batman. There's only one iteration of Star Wars. You know what I mean? I don't know. I was going to say something else. Oh, yeah. So her saying the lineage will be addressed, I think that it's the most plausible explanation is the one I've been saying since before The Last Jedi came out. And that's that I think that Rey is the reincarnation of the Chosen One. So her parents don't matter, but she also still is like a quote unquote Skywalker, you know, as we've talked about with Thrawn Alliances, where she's not literally Skywalker blood in the sense of like she's not born from Anakin and Padme or Luke or Leia or whatever, you know what I mean? But she is a Skywalker in the sense that she is the next Chosen One, because the Chosen One had to come back to rebalance the Force because the Force went out of balance again. It's not like I don't take the prophecy, the Chosen One prophecy, as like there is one singular moment in time where the Force is rebalanced by the Chosen One and then it's balanced forever for the rest of eternity. I take the prophecy as like the prophecy is fluid. Anytime, like the Force can become unbalanced. And when the Force becomes unbalanced, a vergence in the Force appears and rebalances it. It was Anakin before. This time it's Rey. I don't think that's too out of this outlandish. You know what I mean? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, what I was going to say is, do you think the reason why they're bringing Palpatine back is to confirm that theory that we've always had that that basically Palpatine is Anakin's father?
I think that Palpatine. Okay, so I'm a believer that Palpatine had something to do with Anakin's birth, but I don't think Palpatine created Anakin. I think that Palpatine and Plagueis, and it was, this kind of comes a little bit from the Plagueis novel, but it's not confirmed in that novel, but it's highly hinted at. It's, you know, it's now legends, but I think they are probably inspired by that idea, because it was also implied in Revenge of the Sith. I think that Plagueis and or Palpatine, maybe both of them, maybe only one of them, I don't know, they were trying to manipulate the Force, and the Force rebelled, and that's what that's how Anakin was conceived. So they didn't make Anakin. Anakin was conceived because the Force was rebelling against them, manipulating it. And so I think that might be revealed. And Palpatine will try to claim ownership of it, but then Luke and or Yoda or somewhere, or maybe Anakin himself will come and say, no, he's not your father. He didn't create you. He didn't create me. We exist because of him, but it was to destroy him. I don't know. It's more satisfying than like, oh, Palpatine's her dad, Palpatine's Anakin's dad. I guess it's a little cheesy.
Yeah, that would be too easy as to why. The thing that's
kind of cheesy, you know.
Like, yeah. I'm just curious what importance Palpatine has in this film, you know, and that's something that I don't think anyone has had any theory yet that I've seen as far as a reason for him to be there. I mean, I can't wait for him to be there, because it's such an interesting, we weren't expecting that at all, which was why I think that teaser went over so well. It was like, wait, what's going on?
Jaw dropped when I heard that laugh.
I'll be honest, when I watched the trailer, I was super confused, because I was like halfway paying attention when I first watched the trailer. Luke had just got done talking, and then I heard laughing. I was like, why does Luke sound like that? And then you were like, you didn't catch it. And I watched it again. I was like, oh,
no one's ever really gone. Dude, I freaked out.
I was like,
and then, well, because you didn't watch it live. You watched like the VOD.
Because
I watched it at Celebration and Ian McDiarmid showed up. And that's how I knew it was him. Because it's like, clearly like that's Palpatine. So, I mean, I guess we kind of found our way back into the Rise of Skywalker from the Sith troopers, but I guess that's kind of where my mind went. I'm assuming that's where your mind went too.
They look cool, and this is a figure. I don't buy Black Series a whole lot. I don't know, even know if this is a Black Series. This might be one of the more.
It looks like animations. It does look like a Black Series figure. It looks like one of those.
It's not Hot Toys. I know that for a fact.
It's like one of those high end ones you buy in like the case at Barnes and Noble. That's what it looks like.
I would get this one, depending on the pricing, I would get, because this looks really good.
It does look cool.
Really, really good.
And the red really pops. It's really cool. It's supposed to remind you of
the Praetorian Guards.
Well, I was going to say the Imperial Guards, but yeah, I guess those punks that got beat real easy despite being outnumbering the two that they were fighting by a lot.
So I'm going to throw a wrench in here. There's a group of anyone listening. There's a group of guys that I watch called Corridor Digital. They've done videos for years, but they started the series of VFX reacting to movie VFX. And they did one recently where they reacted to stunts in movies. One of them was the fight scene in The Last Jedi. And I always knew there were problems with that scene as far as the choreography and the Praetorian Guards. But the guy they had on there was a stunt coordinator. He's done the coordination for the Punisher series on Netflix, and they were pointing it out, and it was stuff I never even noticed.
Were they like missing them or something?
No, it's like there's literally, you can see a guy just kind of standing there until it was his cue to go in, and then you see him. It's like, okay, yeah, this wasn't this.
So I'm saying there are a bunch of punks that, like, despite having overwhelming numbers, still got beat up.
Exactly.
Got their heads cut off. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, they were cool to look at, and it was a cool scene to watch, but it's kind of like Sassy Tin and the other guy, what's his name? I forgot the other guy. Just getting punked by Palpatine in 3 seconds. It's kind of like that level, where it's like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's a good point.
So there is a couple of things that, I don't really have a lot more time, unfortunately. Maybe we can record maybe this weekend, like a little bit, if you want to. Let's hold off on the book talk, because I want to get into that, and I don't want to give that short shrift. So why don't we just kind of make up some of the details that came out for the two Star Wars games that got announced. That a couple of weeks ago we talked about Lego Star Wars The Rise, Skywalker Saga, and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. And literally, like, immediately after we recorded, a bunch of new details came out about that. So I just want to go back and maybe touch up on a couple of things with that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Just to kind of self-correct ourselves. So, I mean, really, with the Lego Star Wars, we don't know a whole lot more, but we do know it's not going to be the old games. It is going to be a new version of those movies. So they might be similar. They might reuse the same scenes or something, but it will be new, actual builds of those movies the Skywalker Saga game.
Yeah, it's kind of going to be similar to the Force Awakens open world aesthetic, where in terms of you have a ship, kind of like with the Fallen Order in a way, where depending on what movie you pick, like which episode, like you'll go to that specific planet. It's open world in that sense. So like and it's only going to be to that episode. So like you'll go to Coruscant and you'll go to, I don't know if you'll go to Coruscant for sure, but I know the planets.
Well, let's assume you go to Coruscant.
In the episodes, whichever one you pick in the game, that's the planets you'll have available. So you're not going to be able to, in episode one,
you don't have Tatooine. The whole galaxy map. It's like in episode two, you can go to Kamino and you can go to Geonosis. You can go to probably, I don't know, Naboo.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do on Naboo though? There's no fighting on Naboo.
You're going to eat pears. And get married.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. it's just a whole scene of Anakin walking around mumbling, and it's like a little thought bubble with like a beach.
Yeah.
And sand.
But they did also confirm that they're going to use some similar mechanics like in The Force Awakens, where like the over the shoulder, like third person shooter, there's some of those scenes in there.
If you're playing a clone trooper, if you're playing as Finn.
Yeah, you'll have those where it's basically like a cover shooter, where it'll turn into a cover shooter for a moment. So basically, it's a lot of the mechanics that are from the Force Awakens game, Lego game, in the style of the rest of the saga, which is cool. And the open world aesthetic is really kind of cool. It was jarring when I first played in the Force Awakens because I'm used to just hub, like go here, go there. And so when I had to walk around, it was cool, but I was like, that's going to take a little bit longer to get there.
Right.
But yeah, you'll be able to fly to planet to planet. They're probably going to be like, I don't know how much interactivity you'll have, but it seems like you're going to have a good bit in there. That's kind of the majority of what they officially announced 220 characters, I believe. They're definitely going to add more, but I think they're in that phase where they're trying to figure out who's going to be in it. And
I don't think we know if Clone Wars stuff is going to be in there. I think it's just the movies confirmed. Maybe they'll add Clone Wars as DLC. Maybe. I don't know.
But yeah, for sure, it's going to be the 9 saga movies guaranteed.
Yeah. So excited for that. And then one major thing that we need to add, which you actually mentioned without realizing that we didn't mention it previously, is that in Jedi Fallen Order, it's going to be sort of a Metroidvania-ish game. If you're not familiar with games or that terminology, essentially, it's going to be a game where you're going to be able to backtrack. You're going to run into things that you can't access until later on when you have to go back to it. And so it's going to have that type of gameplay, kind of overworld mechanic, and you're going to have a ship that you can actually travel back and forth between planets to. So I thought that was actually a huge, huge thing that they didn't tell us right away. that kind of changes what the game is to a lot of people, where a lot of people assumed it was kind of like, you know, maybe it's an Uncharted type game where you kind of like, you have it like you start at point A, you go to point B, C, D, E, and then end at F. Whereas this game, it sounds like you're going to be able to kind of play it your way. My first thought was how Call of Duty Infinite Warfare was, where it's like you have different options to do different things. But then there's obviously the Metroidvania kind of aspect where you can revisit old areas too. So I'm really excited for this game now. I was kind of like, I knew I was going to get it, and I was kind of, that's like, all right, whatever. I'll just be whatever about it until it comes out. But hearing that kind of made me more excited for it.
Yeah, which was funny too. They, like, I think it was last week, they released a new video that was like a much larger chunk of the demo that they showed off, which, again, why did you just show us that? Like, what they showed us in this new video was way cooler. The set pieces looked better. Everything looked better. It's like, why did you show us that vertical slice?
I'm telling you, man, it's because they wanted to get, I don't know, because originally I thought that it was like the reveal at Celebration, I thought that it was made for people that don't play video games, where it's like, hey, look, you have a lightsaber. Hey, look, there's a character from the movie you saw a couple years ago. Hey, look, there's stormtroopers. You know what I mean? I took it as like that trailer wasn't for the gamers. That trailer was for Star Wars fans. And then the stuff that you saw after the fact that really interested us as gamers, that was the stuff that kind of pulled us in. So I agree with you. I don't know why they wouldn't show it in reverse. Yeah. Or find a way to kind of add it to the, I don't know. What are you more excited for? Star Wars or Fallen Order? Jedi Fallen Order.
With the details of Fallen Order and seeing the new footage, I think I'm more excited for Fallen Order because I've been craving something like that for a minute. I haven't played anything similar to that since probably The Force Unleashed 2, and I actually never beat The Force Unleashed 2. That was the last one.
How did you not beat it by accident? It's like 3 hours long.
Right. I got like a couple hours in.
Just like one day when you're off, just turn it on and you'll beat it without even realizing it. It's like Order 1886 or whatever.
Yeah. But that's the last one I kind of played in similar style to that. But reading more of the details about it and like the fact that it's going to be kind of like a new, like more modern God of War-esque, where it's very methodical, that excites me instead of just a hack and slash. I'm excited for both. What I'm enjoying is that Fallen Order comes out first. And then Saga doesn't come out until next year. So that's totally cool. I don't have to decide which one I want to play first.
Well, right. I keep forgetting that Lego Star Wars does come out next year because it has to come out after The Rise of Skywalker. Like, I just keep forgetting that.
Yeah. But I probably Fallen Order more so now than I was previously. Like, after all the stuff that I've seen, I'm like, okay. This looks better.
Yeah. So, I'm excited for both. I honestly do think I am more excited for Lego Star Wars just because I just want to have fun with Star Wars. And as good as I think Jedi Fallen Order is going to be, it's going to be so serious. You know what I mean? And Lego Star Wars is just going to just be a fun time. And I can play it a little bit at a time if I want. I can play it in pieces. I can kind of mix and match what I want to do. You have that kind of anachronistic element where you can play as like Darth Vader in episode one, or you can play as like, I don't know, like Ki-Adi Mundi in episode five. You know, you have that fun silliness to it that,
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm excited for the trophies because the Lego games have always had fantastic trophies like Lego Marvel.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting it for Switch.
Well, Lego Marvel Superheroes, I wouldn't, because I had this issue. I got Lego Marvel Superheroes 2 on Switch and the game is so large that it's hard to play, because I play my Switch mostly mobile. I hardly ever put it on the dock. It was very like, it was kind of detrimental to play it mobile version because it was so large. Like when I got it on sale on PS4, it played so much better.
Now, what do you mean? Like file size or?
No, like it's the Marvel Superheroes 2 is such a big game in scope. Like on, like when I'm playing on this tiny screen, there's a lot of stuff going on. I hardly ever knew what I was doing because there's so much other stuff.
I was going to buy that the other week when it was on sale for $15 on the eShop, and I'm glad it didn't.
Yeah, it's much better to play on a big TV. But they, I know with the first Lego Marvel Superheroes, they had a trophy where if you paired up with Captain America and Human Torch, you got a trophy for it.
Right, because Chris Evans played both. I remember.
I'm wondering if they're going to do a similar thing with like
Anakin and Vader.
Well, I was going to say Vader and Kylo, like a grandfather or something like that. Like
okay, maybe.
Together. So it's everything about it's cutesy. It's fun. Like I'm excited to go back into those worlds, and it looks so much better than the complete saga did. So much better. Because
it looks like real Legos. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, yeah, I think that's going to do it again. Sorry for the short episode this week. I actually have a lot I want to talk about, but unfortunately I got to go take care of some dinner plans. But I want to talk more about the Star Wars novels. I have been burning through these. I actually, we kind of have an inside joke where I keep going back to Thrawn, but I use Thrawn as like a buffer between my new books. So like, cause I don't want to always jump from new book to new book. I want to like be able to digest it. And so in order to digest it, I just kind of go back to Thrawn as like comfort food in between. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I get that.
That, and I want to get recalled up before Thrawn Treason. I'm like freaking out, dude. I'm so high. Like I have it pre-ordered already on my on Audible. Like I'm freaking out. I'm so ready for Thrawn Treason.
Yeah, I'm I tried to get back into Alliances the other day and I was not feeling it. I don't know what it was.
Alliances is weird because it's kind of like Last Shot where it's jarring because you keep going back and forth. Whereas with the first Thrawn, it's a linear story. Like it goes from point A to point B.
I think
so it's easier to follow.
I think for me, the biggest thing was the book that I just finished before that was Jedi Lost, and it was 6 hours. And jumping into Alliances, which I've heard before, it's 13 hours. I was like, oh, I listened to this. There's something else I could be doing. I don't feel about that way with the current book I'm reading right now. But I'm just curious to see how much of Alliances I will get through before Treason comes out. Because
honestly, I think that the first Thrawn is more important to get through.
You do? You think so?
I kind of have the feeling that like the things he does and says in the first Thrawn are more important. Like it even says on the cover of Treason, where like it talks about like how he, you know, when Palpatine asked him if you had to choose between your people and my and servitude to my empire, what would you choose? And Thrawn chose the empire. And that's kind of the main theme of the book, is that no matter what he does. And I didn't even think about it. Like I originally thought like the name of the book was Treason because he's going to betray the empire. But if he serves the empire, that's treason for the Chiss. So like I didn't even really think about like, oh, like what is he going to do? I don't, because I always just kind of assumed he's going to go back and help the Chiss, which obviously he's going to do something with the Chiss. But I always assumed he was just going to abandon the empire. And now I'm starting to think like, oh, what is he going to, like, I have no idea what he's going to do in this book.
Yeah, I feel like I could get through Thrawn before I could Alliances, because you're right. There's something about Thrawn.
They're the same length, I think, or like same ish length. But Thrawn just kind of, it moves, whereas Alliances is kind of stop and start and stop and start.
Right.
Thrawn, right. it just goes. And even though there's the Arinda Price segments too, those kind of go fast too.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, I've been reading through it again. So, but I want to talk about A New Dawn, which you're in the middle of, which I really enjoyed. I didn't know that was the first new canon Star Wars book.
Really?
Like, I didn't know that. So I want to talk about that when you finish that. I want to talk a little bit about Dooku Jedi Lost, which that was a shorter book, so, you know, we don't have to spend too much time on it. That I liked that one because it felt just like an extended episode of the Clone Wars. And then I want to, you know, obviously we still need to talk about Master and Apprentice. We've been talking about that book for a while. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And I think we can kind of tie together Master and Apprentice and Dooku Jedi Lost.
Yeah, I think we could do a pair with that, and then like maybe with Thrawn or something like that, and A New Dawn leading up to Treason. I think we could probably do something like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week. We'll be back hopefully next week. I want to say, I don't know. We'll figure it out. I definitely want to have an episode by next week, but maybe a bonus episode if we can work it. Sorry if we didn't in the future, if you didn't do it. But yeah, may the Force be with you all. And I don't know. You got anything else to
say? You're a bold one, General Kenobi.
I always screw up the ending. Whatever. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend.
Hello there.